Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 44 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanna Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
We're going to vaccinate, provided we can get everybody interested, another 2.5 million people.
Kentucky leaders are working to get everyone vaccinated before June.
A Kentucky judge has halted efforts to curb the governor's authority.
A new bill could protect pregnant and postpartum inmates.
A new call center will help the unemployed.
Meanwhile, a new bill would regulate when new unemployment centers are opened.
In sports, Moorhead State's basketball team heads to the second round of the OVC tonight.
But Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 27. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Governor Andy Beshear says the state is on track to meet President Biden's goal of providing COVID-19 vaccinations for every adult who wants one by the end of May. Kentucky is launching 157 new COVID-19 vaccination locations this week, bringing the total to 567 statewide. Beshear says it's a still-growing infrastructure the state is building out to deliver on the president's latest promise.
That means that we're going to vaccinate, provided we can get everybody interested, another 2.5 million people or so in the next 3 months. If we do 700,000 this month, we'll only have to pick up our pace just a little bit more in the coming months, and this is going to help us do it.
So far, more than 760,000 Kentuckians have received at least a first dose of the vaccine as the state's positivity rate continues to fall. It now stands at 4.45%, and that's the lowest it's been since October. Even with the encouraging numbers, Beshear made it clear his administration won't be following the lead of states like Texas and Mississippi, which are lifting virus-related restrictions.
App Harvest and St. Clair Healthcare announced a partnership today to promote availability of COVID-19 vaccines in eastern Kentucky. Employees of App Harvest became eligible for the vaccination as part of the opening of 1C vaccinations, which includes essential workers in a variety of industries such as agriculture. St. Clair Healthcare President Donald Lloyd says he understands the importance of the vaccine to the health of the community and expanding economic efforts. Any Kentucky resident who is interested in receiving the COVID-19 vaccine is encouraged to sign up for alerts on St. Clair Healthcare's website, stclair.org.
Wednesday marked a win for the Beshear administration in court with a temporary halt of several Republican-led efforts to curb the governor's authority. But it's only the latest development in an escalating tug of war between the governor and the General Assembly. There have been rare moments of bipartisan alignment this session, but the overall dynamic has been one of tension between an overwhelmingly Republican legislature and a lone Democratic governor.
Whether it's emergency powers or the governor's Office of Agriculture Policy or a number of other bills are out there about stripping this governor of authority that every other governor has had.
This week, Franklin Circuit Judge Philip Shepard temporarily stopped the implementation of 3 major bills designed to rein in the executive power, which are likely to end up at the state Supreme Court. The legislature has made it clear they believe they are correcting what they see as the governor's excesses as a mandate from the voters.
A Kentucky Senate bill that seeks to protect pregnant and postpartum inmates cleared the House committee. WMKY's Sarah Mead has more.
Senate Bill 84 cleared the Senate unanimously last month and was approved by the House Judiciary Committee unanimously Wednesday. The bill would ban jails, penitentiaries, correctional facilities, residential centers, and reentry centers from placing inmates who are pregnant or within the postpartum period in restrictive housing, administrative segregation, or solitary confinement. Detention facilities would also be required to provide pregnant inmates information on community-based programs serving pregnant, birthing, or lactating inmates, and facilities would be required to refer pregnant inmates to a social worker. Senate Bill 84 now goes before the full House for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead.
A new initiative is aimed at providing more mental health services to college students. WMKY's Josh Grogan has more.
The Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education announced on Tuesday the initiative will use $1.5 million in federal relief funds to boost mental health on campuses. The funding will be split. Grants totaling $900,000 will go to schools to expand mental health programs, and the rest will go towards state contracts to train personnel and provide web-based interventions. Officials say the initiative comes as Kentucky colleges experience an increased demand for the health and counseling resources due to anxiety and depression brought on by the pandemic. I'm Josh Grogan for WMKY News.
A new Kentucky call center is opening to help those having unemployment issues. The kews.ky.gov portal remains open for filing claims. The governor's general counselor, Amy McCubbage, tells Wave 3 News the project was made possible by federal dollars.
That will significantly increase our call capacity. This is just one of the ways we're trying to give you a better experience. Soon, our new user interface that we have been working on will be rolled out. We're hopeful that this new call center that we're going to be standing up over the next 6 weeks will be a big help to try to relieve some of that stress on the system.
The United States Congress is set to vote on an unemployment extension. Checks will continue to be distributed to those impacted by the pandemic if the vote passes. If not, next week will be the final week of federal unemployment payments.
Meanwhile, unemployed Kentuckians claim they are trying to reach someone to help with their claim, but after hours of waiting, no one in the office answers. House Bill 367 would require unemployment offices to open in certain areas of Kentucky when the unemployment rate rises above 5%. Previous administrations closed down unemployment offices and cut funding because the unemployment rate was low at the time. Representative Mary Lou Marzian says she is more worried about the cost of reopening offices because it won't be cheap.
Create these out of thin air with no monetary attachments, so I certainly hope it will be put in the budget.
House Bill 367 passed unanimously in the House on Tuesday. It will now move to the Senate for consideration.
Future constables would have to receive professional law enforcement training before wielding police powers under a bill passed by the Kentucky House. WMKY's Ben Hall has the story.
House Bill 267 would not apply to current constables. It would require people assuming the role starting in 2023 to receive certification like other law enforcement officers before exercising such police powers as making traffic stops and arrests. According to WYMT, most constables have little or no training, but can serve court summons and other duties typically carried out by trained police officers and sheriff's deputies. Opponents say the bill wouldn't set aside enough training slots for future constables. House Bill 267 now heads to the Senate for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Ben Hall.
With the U.S. Senate on the verge of voting on President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID rescue plan, advocates for families are saying federal relief is crucial. Even before the pandemic, many in Appalachia faced food insecurity and a lack of child care and broadband access. Amy Jo Hutchinson is with Our Future West Virginia. Her group is urging lawmakers to send some help in the form of the American Rescue Plan.
Food insecurity is always a problem. A lot of that has to do with food access because we're so rural in so many areas. And I know that when COVID hit, the food pantries around here saw an increase of 3 times the regular need.
The plan would increase nutrition and food assistance, extend unemployment benefits, and send one-time payments of $1,400 to people below a certain income.
Community groups are banding together to push back against increasingly frequent rate hikes proposed by Kentucky utility companies. Each year, the Kentucky Public Service Commission receives hundreds of applications to change rates and services. According to Josh Bills, a commercial energy specialist with the Mountain Association, most of these cases go unchallenged. He says last fall, Kentucky Power asked for a 25% rate increase, its third in 5 years, saying the change was needed to help pay for new meters.
They're also setting aside particular costs and passing those directly to customers as surcharges. So it's getting to be more and more complicated for a customer to look at their bill and understand what their rates are and how much they're being charged.
The commission reduced the rate hike amount, but Eastern Kentuckians' energy bills will still increase by about 12.5%. Now, the Kentucky Solar Energy Society, Metropolitan Housing Coalition, and other groups are intervening in rate cases filed by Louisville G&E and Kentucky Utilities, with hearings expected next month.
Gas prices continue to increase as the price of oil is up almost 70% since the election. WMKY's Lakin Hupp has more.
The national average price of gas has increased 9 cents, making the current price $2.72 per gallon. This is a 30-cent increase from the beginning of February, 28 cents more than a year ago, and the most expensive daily national average since August 2019. As of March 1st, the national average price for diesel is $2.94 per gallon. Average gas prices for our region has Kentucky at $2.56 per gallon, Ohio at $2.70 per gallon, and West Virginia at $2.71 per gallon. Analysts say the main reason for the increase is the hope that the worst of the pandemic is over and Americans can travel again. For WMKY News, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, sunny with a high near 45. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 24. Sunday, sunny with a high near 45. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 26. Monday, sunny with a high near 57. Monday night, mostly clear with a low around 36. And for your Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 61.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff ponders the Pledge of Allegiance.
One thing I have always wondered about atheists is why some of them get upset at the mention of God. The really accomplished atheists, of course, never bother with this. To them, God doesn't exist, so to get upset over any mention of the deity would be a waste of time, like getting upset in an argument over Batman or flat earth theory. No, it's the half-assed atheists that stir up the trouble. If only they were better at what they do, we might avoid certain forms of controversy that may look really silly to our descendants reading the history of our times. One traditional utterance that has led to many court cases over the last 130 years is the oft-bashed Pledge of Allegiance. Even before Congress inserted the phrase, under God, by law back in Ike's time, folks were upset. And I can see that. Any pledge of allegiance of any kind should be offensive to Americans, who soundly and violently threw off allegiance to a king and scrubbed any form of deference they could as the founders poured the hot lead of the nation into its first forms. Frankly, I never liked the pledge, which we were forced to recite in grade school, but mainly because I was sleepy and already thinking about lunch. Other folks have had all sorts of problems with it, but most of these problems emerged after the original language of the pledge was altered. Maybe a little background might help us all feel a little better about the original intention of the pledge. Surely its original 1892 language was something to behold for its simplicity and relative lack of controversy. It went like this: I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The author, Francis Bellamy, added the word to before republic a bit later to enhance the flow. Nice work, Frank! And Americans didn't get leg cramps from the addition of the word to. Nice work, Americans! No, the trouble started when folks started telling other folks, usually adults bossing children, that they had to recite this pledge. And then later, folks got even more busted up over the language changes that seemed to lean toward adoration and submission, things Americans have never been too fond of, except for during football games and presidential elections. Just who was this man, Francis Bellamy? He was a Baptist minister's son who would himself later take up the cloth, working at the time the pledge was composed for a humble magazine called Youth's Companion. He did promotions and worked to encourage programs expressing patriotism in schools in concert with, according to the Smithsonian, the coming Columbian Exposition of 1892, celebrating the famous Christopher's arrival in the West. That is so much more controversial than the words under God, don't you think? Connections to Columbus? The horror! Maybe at last folks can get around to a proper objection to this innocent little ditty. Meantime, hats off to Francis Bellamy for starting one of the silliest, longest-running feuds in American history. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is an author and retired professor of speech.
Support for MSPR comes from Main Street Medical Associates, 214 East Main Street in Moorhead. Main Street Medical Associates is now open to the Moorhead community, providing primary care and addiction services with counseling by board-certified and licensed providers. Same-day and next-day appointments for primary care, medical evaluations, occupational exams, physicals, and addiction services. In-office or telemedicine available by appointment by calling 606-784-8682. That's 784-8682. Main Street Medical Associates on Facebook and online at mainstreetmedical.live.
It's 44 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Daria Denisenko, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Ben Hall has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this beautiful Friday evening.
Moorhead soccer and baseball are on the field this afternoon. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ben Hall. The Moorhead State baseball team fell at Marshall this afternoon. 3-1. This is the first of the three-game series with the Herd that will continue this weekend. Head coach Mick Aoki says he didn't know what to expect from Marshall since they opened the season with this afternoon's game.
Yeah, we just kind of go off of what they did last year, I guess, you know, and they were a program that similar record to how we sort of had our season cut short and different things like that. You know, they're kind of going back and forth, but also no one was going to have to be in hotel rooms because obviously they're, you know, a little over an hour to get there, so it makes it somewhat equitable.
The Herd will travel to Moorhead for their Saturday game, and both teams return to Huntington on Sunday. Game times are set for 1 p.m. both days. The Moorhead State soccer team fell to Eastern Illinois this afternoon, 1-0. The loss moves the Eagles to 0-2 on the young season. Head coach Warren Lipka says his team was able to see some game film before facing the Panthers this afternoon.
It's a league rule to upload your game film, you know, within 24 hours. So at least after the first match, everybody will be uploading film and we can properly prepare for, you know, what those teams are doing now this year.
The Eagles will spend this weekend preparing to meet Tennessee Tech on Tuesday. Game time at Johnson Arena is set for 3 p.m. The Moorhead State men's basketball team will face off with Eastern Kentucky University tonight in the second round of the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament. The Eagles traded wins with the Colonels during regular season play. MSU head coach Preston Spradlin says his team is mentally prepared.
Got to do a better job and try to make the other guys beat us. And we've got to really simplify what we do and just be strong with the ball and play with great pace. No matter who that opponent is, it's going to be a key in either one of those matchups.
Tip-off tonight in Evansville, Indiana, is set for 10:30 p.m. Live stats and gameplay can be found at msueagles.com. The Moorhead State volleyball team is undefeated this season, going into this weekend's series with Tennessee Tech. The Eagles face off with the Golden Eagles Sunday at 8 p.m. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker says Tennessee Tech is a very talented team.
They're well coached. They have a all-conference outside that is one of their stronger players. And then they also have a middle blocker who is one of the best blockers in the OVC. So there's a lot of comparisons between their strengths and our strengths.
MSU will face Tennessee Tech again on Monday night. The first match is set to start at 6 p.m. It is game day once again for the Round County Senior High School girls basketball team. The Vikings are back home this evening to take on the Raceland Lady Rams. It's been a week of postseason prep for Rowan, playing back-to-back games on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, head coach Matt Stokes says they are ready to do it again.
Playing a team out of Charleston, West Virginia, that will come to Round County Saturday afternoon to play. George Washington is the name of the school. And that is another chance for us to do a back-to-back night, you know, to really focus in.
Tip-off against Raceland this evening will be at 7:30. Tip-off against George Washington is set at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The Round County Senior High School boys basketball team has the night off, but they'll be back home for contest against Johnson Central tomorrow afternoon. The Vikings are coming off a 45-43 win against Boyd County last night. Now they're set to take on a very athletic Golden Eagles team that currently holds the number one spot in the 15th region. Coach Sean Thacker says the game was rescheduled for Monday after heavy rains poured through the area.
Flooding in Paintsville, if you've seen any of the pictures on Facebook, the mountains have got hit pretty hard. I just actually was looking at Facebook pictures of the town that I grew up in Floyd County, Garrett, and it's completely underwater. So, thoughts and prayers to all those people back in eastern Kentucky and southern Kentucky that have gotten hit hard with this flooding.
Tip-off for that game in Rowan is set for 5:30. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ben Hall.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Moorhead Primary Care at 333 Beacon Hill Road. Moorhead Primary Care welcomes physician's assistants Kevin Cummins and Alicia Perry, accepting new patients with a focus to build patient and provider relationships for acute and chronic illnesses. Moorhead Primary Care remains committed to the health of our community during this COVID-19 crisis. Office appointments and telehealth available at 606-780-0444. That's 606-780-0444. Or visit the website at moorheadprimarycare.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rebounded from an earlier sell-off as a stronger-than-expected jobs report boosted optimism for a fast economic recovery. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 572.16 at 31,496.30. The S&P 500 was up 73.47 at 3841.94, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 196.68 to finish at 12,920.15. And the NASDAQ was up 1.6% on the day after earlier dropping as much as 2.6% as tech stocks were under pressure in the morning. The 10-year Treasury yield closed at 1.55% after hitting a session high above 1.6%, and the drop in Treasury rates later in the day certainly helped the financial markets in a very big way. As mentioned, the jobs report reported by the Labor Department today was stronger than expected, with 379,000 new jobs reported for the month of February, and the expectation was for 210,000. Oil was up $2.46 a barrel at $66.29 a barrel, and gold was down 0.25%, gold finishing at $1,696.60 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up 337 at 91.63, Marathon Petroleum up 81 cents at 57.32, PPL up 34 cents at 28.25, Fifth Third Bank up $1.21 at 36.77, App Harvest down $1.88 at 16.87, and Walmart was up $1.59 to finish at 129.12. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, sunny with a high near 45. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 24. Sunday, sunny with a high near 45.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Josh Grogan, Sarah Mead, Lakin Huff, Ben Hall, Shamari Mosley, and Daria Denisenko. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanna Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.